This episode of Breakthrough Success is brought to you by Jobber. Jobber is your business command center. The easy-to-use app powers your sales, operations, and customer service all in one place. Go check them out at getjobber.com/im/breakthrough to receive 20% off your first 6 months. What's up, Breakthrough Success listeners? Mark Burry, the podcasting coach here, helping people launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts. I know a lot of people, they want to go through that journey of employee to entrepreneur, or they have gone through that journey. So we're going to be talking about how you can do just that in this episode. And as a bonus, we'll throw in how you can become an authority as well. So think about from employee to authority entrepreneur, really doing a lot of awesome things. That's this episode. So the guest who joins us today, he's a digital marketing specialist, copywriter, speaker, and the co-host of Marketing Geeks, which is a top 10 podcast on Apple Podcasts in the category of business marketing. He is the owner of JMAC Media and started his own business after a decade of traditional employment where he felt emotionally bankrupt and found himself building the dreams of others before his own. Fast forward to today, he has spoken for organizations such as Marsh & McLennan and AIG, and launched that top marketing podcast we mentioned earlier with past guests featuring Pat Flynn, Dan Locke, Ryan Levisky, and John Lee Dumas. So our guest who joins us for this episode of Breakthrough Success is none other than Justin Womack. Justin, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate being here.
Justin, I'm so happy to have you on Breakthrough Success, and I'm looking forward to this conversation. And one of the things that I didn't mention in your intro, because I wanted you to talk about a little more, is you mentioned a life-threatening accident that happened and that really transformed you to really get out of the employee mentality and go all in on entrepreneur. So I'm wondering if you could give us some of that background and talk about how it changed you.
Yeah, so, I mean, I had known for a long time that I wasn't fit in. I didn't fit in as an employee. When I used the word spiritual bankrupt in my bio there, it was like, you know, every day felt like a terrible day for me. It was, it was emotionally draining. I felt like I was on like a hamster wheel. Every day was the same. It was not a great experience. So I think I was raised with the belief system that I had to be an employee. But I never had the mentality of an employee, and it didn't, you know, I have the DNA of an entrepreneur. So after a decade of employment, I had started looking at other areas and trying to switch my career. But while all this was happening, I experienced a major traumatic car accident where my car actually went off of a bridge, rolled upside down, went underwater, which was not only underwater, but dirty water. And I was rescued out of the car. Given CPR, and I survived, but I spent 2 months in the ICU because I had severe lung infections because of how dirty the water was that I was breathing into my lungs. And so 2 months in the ICU, with 30 days of that, was in a medical coma. 30 days I was awake, but I had a trach. I couldn't speak. I couldn't move. And from there, it kind of put things in perspective for me. So it gave me the permission to take the risks that I wasn't taking before, because I just, after that accident, I just realized how short life was and how my life in many ways could have ended very, very easily on that day. I survived long odds to still be here today. And it's just, when those things kind of happen, it kind of makes you step back from the life that you've been living and kind of, you know, ask yourself the questions like, am I doing what I really love to do? If I look back at the end of my life, am I happy with the result? And the answer was no. And that's why after that accident, I decided that I would take some chances and I would step out completely and start my own business. And that's what I've done.
And it is a lot of these moments where we realize how finite life is, where you have a life-threatening thing, you have a big accident or something like that. You realize, wow, I mean, like, what if I died right there? And then like, I was just an employee. I didn't fully make the transition. So now you have made the transition. Now you do have a successful podcast. So I'm wondering how you're able to then become an authority and build that up quickly, because it seems like you were definitely inspired after what happened, but at the same time, you could be inspired, but then nothing happens. So how did you make it happen?
Well, before the accident, I had started doing behind the scenes work. So I left my traditional career and I started doing behind the scenes work for a couple coaching companies, seminar companies. And I got familiar with a lot of different marketing models and concepts. One of the things that I've come to learn through that experience and just through studying, reading books, I'm inspired by like Robert Cialdini's stuff, if you're familiar with him. He wrote the book Influence. But the things that drive authority, at least perceptual authority in people's minds, are the positioning that you give yourself. And things that you're doing right now, Mark, are the correct ways to build quick authority. Those are things like running a podcast. By being a podcast host, you are positioning yourself as a thought leader, and as a leader, you're delivering content, you're teaching people, but you're also associating yourself with top names. So like in my bio, when I talk about having Pat Flynn on the show and Ryan Levesque and Dan Locke, those are well-known names in the marketing niche. They're not well-known in your general public, but they're well-known in the marketing niche. And every time I have somebody like that on the show, for better, I mean, whether I deserve it or not, some of that credibility that they have kind of like tends to fall onto you a little bit. And it's a way, again, of you're associating with names and that's coming onto your sense of authority. Now, same kind of way, if you write a book, I mean, there's something magical that happens when you go from just an entrepreneur to a published author. That's like a major jump in the way that people perceive you. And then public speaking too. I mean, I can't tell you how many events I've been to where I'm in the audience before I go speak. Not a lot of people are coming up to me and talking to me. Then I do my speaking gig and all of a sudden I have people rushing over asking to talk, asking me questions because now I'm more interesting. And that's because I positioned myself as a leader at that point. And the way that they perceived me changed. And so if you can intelligently kind of control those situations and if you are kind of realistic about building that authority, then you can put it to your advantage. And I think that's essential to build a successful business, especially in this day and age.
And you mentioned a lot of good ways to build authority. I mean, podcast the authority by association. I've had a lot of awesome guests on my show who I can name. And, you know, that's like, wow, he was good enough to get that guy on the show.
Yeah.
The books have also been really big. Like books also help you a lot if you want to get public speaking gigs. Because if you could say, I wrote this book, I'm speaking on a topic related to this book, it helps a lot. And and the speaking also being really big. Yeah. Like you could change someone's life in an hour with speaking while it takes years to do the same thing with just free content that you're putting up on the web. But one of the things that does happen to people is like, you know, they have a book, they have a podcast, they have speaking, but that doesn't necessarily relate to income. So you have some people with big authorities that don't make much money. So how can we use our authority to translate that into cash?
Yeah. So that's the million-dollar question, right? That's a strategy. So it's kind of well, number one, I find that when you're in this place speaking, I mean, there's a different ways that you can model your speaking gigs, but you can either just give a talk and do nothing, which a lot of people do, or they might try to sell their books in the back of the room, but that's not a great way for monetization. What I find is that maybe you're taking a speaking gig where you're not allowed to make a paid offer, but most people that are putting on events will let you make a free offer. And so I highly would encourage people that are going to be, and this can go for podcasts too, if you're going to be on a platform of some kind, make a free offer because when you do that, you have a chance to collect people's information and you have a chance to have conversations with them later and make offers to them from that. So give them a chance to get to know you, kind of build a relationship, and then allow them the opportunity to work with you. Too many people, I think, kind of approach this with zero strategy in mind. And there's also a lot of authors, like you mentioned, that they write a book. Maybe they even drive it to a number one Amazon bestseller because there's ways to do that. But they have no idea how to actually leverage that. They don't know how to use that to go book the speaking gigs that then turn into revenue. They don't know how to use that to make themselves sound amazing when they're introduced in different places or to book podcasts. So it's leveraging that authority that matters as well. So, I mean, there's a lot of different strategies. We're not going to have time to dive into all of them, but those are just a handful of ideas.
And I think it's really important to think that strategy because like my big strategy is to get strategy calls and to turn people into clients. So I help with their podcast, YouTube, getting a TEDx. So like all the things that like in the strategy calls, when people submit their forms, like they're like, I read your podcasting book. Like that's what I want to see. because I don't need the books to make thousands of dollars each month. Would it be nice? 100%. If you give me that option, I'd take it in a heartbeat. But I make more money for my books by getting people into the strategy calls. That goes for podcasts, turning, getting listeners and guests to go into strategy calls, and just having that main focal point and something I could promote during events at the end if it is, you know, you promote something for free. Because I also host a profitable public speaking podcast, so I've heard of the people who they spend $10,000 to get on a stage and then they promote their $2,000 course. So plenty of different ways to make money. It's just having a strategy behind it.
And back to the book idea. I mean, I know so many authors that wrote a book thinking they're going to get rich off book sales. And again, in the modern era, that's few and far between are making money on the sales of their books. The book is a positioning tool. It's an authority building tool. And it's a tool that's going to get you stage time. And it's going to get you the respect of your audience, and they're going to want to do business with you. But you have to be thinking about it in a different mindset, because I don't know the numbers, but it's a very low percentage of authors that are really writing books and then just turning profits instantly. It's really this long-term thinking goal of using it again to position yourself, and then you're coming up with a good strategy and you're making the money on the back end of that book.
Yeah, it's really the back end that matters. I mean, and if you do get people to read your whole book, it's not just someone reading your book. It's someone who spent $2 or $3 on you to get that book, and you get people to spend like a little bit of money with you. It's easier to get them to spend a lot more. So that is part of the strategy, and having all of your content that you create connect to that idea instead of just throwing stuff on the wall and see what sticks. So really great insight there to create all of those connections.
Just one more insight, because I got recruited to be a Fiverr pro. So you're familiar with the website Fiverr, Fiverr.com, yes. Their freelancing site. So as an Infusionsoft partner, they contacted me and they were looking for somebody that did Infusionsoft work. That's one of the things I do as well. So I did their recruitment procedure. I had never had a Fiverr profile. I just started as a Fiverr pro. And as a Fiverr pro, they were driving me traffic and they had validated me as a professional. And I was getting all kinds of sales, not because my offerings were any better than anybody else on the platform, but because I was positioned as an authority because they validated my skill set. And that's just another kind of example of the power of third-party validation and authority, which like testimonials other authorities telling people that you are good at what you do is also a very, very powerful motivator.
Coming up, we're going to be talking about how to diversify your income streams and have a few streams bring in a ton of money instead of many income streams not bringing in that much money. So before we do that, we had the Jobber Minute. And Jobber doesn't usually do this, but they did want me to call out their biggest competitor, Pen and Paper. And it gets lost when you need it. It never answers your phone calls. And it couldn't be bothered with reminding your customers about upcoming appointments. And yet still so many business owners are going the old school route with this classic but dated duo. Don't get us wrong. Pen and paper are a perfect pair for things like writing your better half a half-written love note, or in my case, a much-needed grocery list. But when it comes to your business operations, technology like Jobber's business software can truly save you time, money, and unnecessary hassles. Jobber manages all the things you need to deal with on the day-to-day, like invoicing, reporting, timesheets, scheduling, and more. But it eliminates the stacks of paperwork by placing everything on one easy platform you can access from virtually anywhere. Now, you, your employees, and your customers can access everything you need in just a few simple clicks, ensuring everyone is on the same page and no detail goes unnoticed. Stop chasing paper and start collecting money. Try Jobber today by signing up for their free 2-week trial over at getjobber.com/im/breakthrough. All right, let's jump right back into the episode.
And I love how you mentioned Fiverr and putting something there, because some people think you got to have your own website for all this stuff. You got to do it all yourself. Like for sponsors on Breakthrough Success, I reach out to companies and some of them say yes, some of them say no. I also have something up on Fiverr, and that is passive sales that come my way because I don't promote that gig. I just got some initial people in there. They left good reviews, and now the Fiverr search engine really picks that up. So if you have a ton of different income streams, it's easier to you feel safer, because when you have a job, you just have one income stream. You get laid off from your job and your income is zero, and you got to get on your feet quickly. So on the thought of income streams, like there's just so many choices we have. How can we create a bunch of high quality income streams without getting distracted? So like instead of like having 10 ways of making like $100 a month, having like five ways to make $2,000, $5,000 a month. So how do we do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's kind of like diversifying your interests and your skill sets among different platforms. I mean, the way I would look at this is you have like your freelancing side. So you can go on something like Fiverr, Upwork, all these different freelancing platforms and get work there. But you should also treat that work not necessarily as an end-all deal, but as kind of a lead magnet towards your bigger offers or a tripwire, like they would say, a digital marketer. This is like the lead-in offer. And then on the back end of that, you might be making a bigger offer. That's kind of the introductory point to the bigger coaching package or the bigger package on the back end of the company. Outside of that, I mean, there's so many opportunities to make money as a referral partner. Like every company in almost every company out there, if you contact them, they probably have some sort of referral partner program, even if they don't advertise it. Like a lot of times, if there's a company that I'm referring people to, I will go reach out to them and ask. And more often than not, they'll have something. It might be just like saving money off my bill and they won't pay me like a check, but I'll take that, you know? Yeah. I mean, there's just like, if you just get out there and ask people, you'll be surprised at what you find. And then there's the traditional stuff, like go out and speak at your local chamber of commerce if you have to, or I mean, go start reaching out to companies and pitching them on a topic that you're an expert on and try to get speaking gigs and levels like that, because that's another source of income that you can drive. I mean, there's so many different ways of doing it. I have friends that really get deep into network marketing on this, on the side of things. And some people succeed at that, some don't. But there's a million different ways to make money in this world. And it's, I wouldn't just got to be a little cautious with this because I don't, you know, if you get too spread out, you can fall into that shiny object syndrome and you can kind of become a master of nothing. Yeah. So there's a little bit of that to take account of, but and again, even another thing like the podcast, you know, we've only been running for 16 months and we run about two ads on our podcast and that drives about $600 a month in ad revenue. They pay us to have those ads read. And you know, it's not like, that's not going to make a ton of money, but it's a nice little extra chunk of change.
Right.
So it covers expenses and things like that. And I guess a lot of people don't make any money off their podcast. So it's good to know that we're making some. So. and that's just the money from the ads. I mean, there's another back end of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Like with podcasting, like sponsors are big, being able to get clients from your show are big, being able to sell books are big. There's a lot of different ways to make money when you have the platform, when you are being the podcast host or podcast guest, or you have a book or you have the speaking gig. It's just a matter of being strategic. That has been a main theme that we've hit on. One of the things that I do want to touch upon though are habits, because I feel like those are so important. So I'm wondering if you could share some of the habits that you would say have been essential for your success.
Resilience. I mean, I guess that's not necessarily a habit. That's more of a trait. But I mean, there's going to be times when you get like, you're going to fail and fall on your face really hard. And it's kind of fighting through that and going forward. And the same thing kind of goes with like starting a podcast, those kind of things. You might suck in the beginning. You might have a bad interview or two. But if you stop because of that, you know, you lose the momentum and you don't need to do that. So if you could push through, you're going to have a lot of success. The other thing is, I believe firmly in the idea of fast action, speed of implementation. So when you learn something new, I think the most successful people are the ones that actually install that into their business right away. So as you take on these new habits and new skills, it's can you actually implement that, and how fast can you do it? Because it's in the world of digital marketing, everything changes all the time. And if you're not taking part in what's latest right now, by the time you get to it, it's going to be too late, or it's going to be on the back end of things. It's slowing down. So it's the idea that you take fast, massive action and again, implement the things that you actually learn. Don't just sit on them and pontificate. So, I mean, those are the main things. And then also take the opportunities that are given to you to speak and become that authority figure. Like if you're being asked to speak for free, I say yes. Even if it's uncomfortable, say yes, kind of figure it out. I've taken on a lot of opportunities that have stretched me in my comfort zone. And I say yes to things that often will make me uncomfortable, but I figure it out and I find a way to do it. And I've always come out of on the other end stronger. And so I see those as like keys to success as an entrepreneur.
And I really like, there's a really important point you say where implement the things that you learn, because you could go to one of these conferences, like we were at the New Media Summit, and you hear all these really awesome things that someone like Steve Olser says, because Steve was the guy who organized the New Media Summit. And you're like, wow, that's really good. I should do that. I should do that. But then you don't do it. And then you go back to New Media Summit in March 2020. And you still have all the things from September that you didn't do. And I know why that happens. Like, you go to a big event, and this applies to anything, like if you're just reading content too, but you go to a big event, you're super excited, you've learned so much, then schedule and like all the busyness hits and it's hard to find that time. So what's your advice for people who, what you just said, they're like, yeah, I check with that. I agree with that. But they're still having the problem. So how can we implement the new skills we get right away?
Well, like you said, scheduling is big. So blocking out your calendar is important. I tried for about a year of kind of just winging my calendar, and that became a mess very quickly. If I don't schedule out my time, I'm not as productive of a person. So I do think taking control of your calendar is one of the keys there. Now at seminars, yes, everybody gets like a seminar high, and they're around like-minded people that are all also in good spirits. So when you come home from a seminar, it's easy to kind of fall back down and come back down to earth, and then all of a sudden go into your old habits. So having some sort of accountability partner can also be very critical. So having somebody to call and that's holding you accountable, you're holding them accountable, keeping them on track, keeping them on their goals, having a coach. Those are things that are that I found to help me out in times of need. And then the seminar world, there's a whole bunch of personal growth coaches out there that teach some amazing skills and tactics. There's concepts from like NLP and all these different programs on these little tools that can help you drive your energy up and help you change your internal state by implementing some of that stuff. So, I mean, there's a lot that you could find online. I mean, there's breathing techniques, just things like that. If it's an energy issue, there are tools and tactics that you can take on. If it's I can't find the time issue, I say go check your calendar and also check with an accountability partner. But those are the things that come to mind when you're asking me that. So
that's a few really great points there from Justin. And scheduling is so important. One of the things I recently heard of is, pick a whole day where you're just going to apply what you learned from a seminar, like not like the day after because you're going to feel tired, but maybe like a week after you pick that day to just apply the stuff you got from that seminar. So scheduling is so important. I'm wondering if you could share with us how you schedule, like how you find the time to do that, because scheduling your day, your week, your month, the longer you plan out, the more time it takes to schedule. So how do you make that a little quicker?
Yeah. I mean, for one, when you set an appointment, make sure it goes in the calendar instantly. I mean, it's kind of sounds obvious, but for a long time, I would be on like a messenger chat or like a Fiverr chat or something and be scheduling an appointment and then not putting it in my calendar. And if you fail to do that, you can make some big mistakes quickly. So doing it right away, having tools like a calendar tool, ideally you should have some kind of an online scheduler where people can go and book appointments. I mean, that tends to, I know you're using Acuity. That's a great tool that can be used to book your appointments. There's lots of them out there. I think there's plenty that can be effective. But these kind of things make it a lot easier because then the other person is, that online calendar is pulling from your schedule and it's only providing options when you're open for an appointment, and you could dictate the hours. So if you really want to be effective and also allow yourself rest periods, you kind of set like business hours for yourself. You only take appointments during that time. And then during your off time, you honor that as well. And that's something I'm still working on a little bit. I don't always honor my off time. At least I do, but not 100% perfectly. So it's a challenge as an entrepreneur, and there's a balance. But I mean, these are some of the things that I would say will help you to schedule easier. But I like what you said about taking a whole day after a seminar. I mean, I probably spent a good half day just following up with people after that new media summit event. So,
yeah, that's I mean, the follow-up is also really important, and just being able to apply what you learned, that's key, as Justin pointed out. For people who are wondering, where can we find you? Where can we follow your work? I will be linking to your podcast in the show notes, but what are some of the other places we can go to follow your work?
Yeah, well, you can go to my website, which is jmacmedia.com. That's J-M-A-C-K. So jmackmedia.com. You can connect with me on LinkedIn. I spend a lot of time on LinkedIn. It's linkedin.com/in/JustinWomack1. And you can find me on Fiverr. You could so on Fiverr, I have the same username as LinkedIn. So it's JustinWomack1, but you could find me there. And I'd say LinkedIn is a great place to connect with me. Shoot me a message, tell me that you heard me on Mark's podcast, and I will be happy to connect and have a conversation.
Justin, thank you for sharing those resources. All those will be in the show notes along with the strategy call. If you guys want to leverage podcasting and YouTube, get a TEDx, schedule that strategy call with me. But once again, Justin, thank you so much for coming on the show. It was such a pleasure having you on Breakthrough Success.
Thank you.
Justin, once again, thank you so much for coming on Breakthrough Success, and thank you for taking the time to listen to our episode. I mean, there's just so many ways to make money, but we do have to make that commitment to go from employee to entrepreneur and start building up these lucrative income streams. And if you are wondering, how do you invest in your marketing to get the highest return, to reach the most people? Well, that's what we're going to talk about in next week's episode. So definitely stay tuned and subscribe if you haven't already. And in between episodes, if you have not left a review for the show yet, I'd be super appreciative if you could do that. Anyway, signing off, dream big, achieve greatness, unlock your potential today. This episode of Breakthrough Success was brought to you by Jobber. Jobber is your business's command center. The easy-to-use app powers your sales, operations, and customer service all in one place. Start a free trial or sign up today to receive 20% off your first 6 months over at getjobber.com/im/breakthrough.